We're reading from Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 3 through 37. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For a nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will save. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one who is in the housetop must not go down or go in to get anything out of his house. And the one who is in the field must not turn back to get this coat. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that it will not happen in the winter. For those days will be a time of tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now and never will. Unless the Lord has shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will be the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels, and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree, which its branches has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert. God's word.
Thank you, Curtis Rogers. Good man. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to have the opportunity to speak this morning and bring the Bible here. Long chapter. Appreciate your patience. I won't be that long, I don't think. Last week I was driving to work, and I was listening to Christian radio from Worcester, WVNE 790 AM, Life-Changing Radio, and the program was Christian Worldview, and there was a guest on there, and the gentleman was interviewing the guest, and he was talking about AI and artificial intelligence and all that stuff that's going on in the news and all that stuff that's fascinating, interesting, and makes you a little nervous. And he was talking about how that AI, should we embrace it? Should we not? Should we see what's going to happen and wait? Should the church embrace it? What should the church do? What should Christians do? And then I was reminded about a week or two before, I was on checking the news, Fox News, and I was read an article about Elon Musk and how that he was talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and how we need to embrace it, but yet not let the bad people get it, because in the wrong hands, it can be terrible, and that we need to use it for good. And it got me thinking about all this stuff. It got me thinking about the future, and it got me reminded me about when I was a teenager growing up, or before that, and there was a little bit more talk years ago about the Antichrist. And who is the Antichrist? And I'm sure there's some of you sitting here that some names might pop in your head. So the person that popped into my head was the Russian guy, Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, the Mark of the Beast, right there, remember that? And everybody, oh, is he the Antichrist? Well, obviously he's not. And who knows who else throughout time, people thought this is the Antichrist, this is the end is here. But yet people pass away and we keep living. And it got me thinking about the beast and this and how that for the first time, growing up, I always thought, okay, yeah, the Antichrist is going to be this person. We don't know. But the beast, who's the beast? I thought, well, maybe it's not a person. As the computer industry and the internet started coming, maybe it's not going to be a person. And so I'm hearing about all this AI and this artificial intelligence, and it made me think, is it possible that this AI can become the beast of the Bible? And I really started thinking. I started getting nervous. I started getting worried about what could happen. Are you getting worried as I talk about it? Thinking about it? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to my kids? How are my kids going to live in the next generation or two, next 20, 30 years? What causes these unsettled feelings of nervousness and being scared when we talk about the future? When you read the news or you watch the news and you see what's going on and you hear what's going on and you wonder, why do people do what they do? Why don't they see that Jesus is the answer for the world? Why don't people see that? And we get frustrated, we get angry, we get upset, we get nervous, we get worried. We start thinking about the future. Well, what helps us to control our outlook in life and our reaction to what's going on? Is it fear? No. It's faith. It's faith. I got to get this going here. Hold on. Come on now. I got to get my support going. Oh, wait. We got to go. Thank you. Thanks, Clark. Faith for the future. There we go. It's our faith. It's our faith in God. So the Apostle Paul is talking about the armor of God in Ephesians, right? And he talks in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, above all, or most importantly, take the shield of faith so that you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So no matter what fiery temptation the world throws at you or throws at me or us, and that happens every day, doesn't it? No matter what fiery temptation the world throws at us, we can take that shield of faith and it can quench it. We have that shield of faith. And as the future gets closer, and as the world seems to come to what we think is going to be an end, as the future gets closer, our faith in God must remain strong. strong. Our faith in God must remain strong. Our faith is like a compass. Faith is like a compass in life. We may get distracted by things that are going on around the world with the news. When you watch the news or read the news, you get distracted by what's going on with things in your family or in church or in your neighborhood or something. Things distract us, and they temporarily turn us away from God, and from it, and they put it, they turn us in a different direction. But like a compass always points to the north, our spiritual compass, our faith, brings us right back to God, right back to the cross of Jesus. So faith, not fear, should be our compass. So my question this morning is, are we reacting in fear to the things around us, or is faith our compass? So in the Bible here that Curtis read, there are four disciples that asked Jesus some questions. So Peter, James, John, and Andrew are asking Jesus some questions. And they basically asked him two questions. Number one, when is the end going to happen? And number two, what is going to happen when the end comes? Basically, they wanted to know what? They asking Jesus to tell them the what and the when of the future. Now, we know, Curtis just read a few minutes ago, we know that Jesus doesn't know the when. He doesn't know the answer to the first question. He said it. He said, I, the Son of Man, I don't even know the answer to when the end is going to come. Only the Father knows it, right? So Jesus, in his humanity, he said he didn't know that. He wasn't given that knowledge. But he did say, he proceeds to tell them what's going to lead up to that end. And there's some occurrences or some events that are going to take place before the end comes. And my hope this morning is that you will realize that if you get nervous about the future, and I know that's just like maybe like 1% of you here this morning, you're supposed to laugh a little bit. Come on, folks. Thank you. I thought that was a joke. I hope it's a joke. I hope that you are, yes, we get nervous about when we think about the future, but I hope that we can turn back to, like a compass goes north, we can turn back to our faith and strengthen our faith in God. Because as the end gets near, as the future gets closer, our faith in God must remain strong. So keep this point in mind, okay? So if you have, in our timeline of history and life, right, you have before BC, before Christ, and you have AD, which is after Christ, okay? So Jesus was born around 0 or 1 AD, right? So how long was Jesus on the earth? 33 years. What year is it now? 2023. Thank you. I like this group over here. That's why I'm standing over here, to get their attention more. So I know all of you math geniuses are already trying to figure this out. So Jesus told this approximately 1,990 years ago. I'll let a few of you catch up to that point. Can we move on now? Yeah. Okay. So Jesus spoke that around 1,990 years ago, and he told the disciples then this could happen. This could happen, so be ready. And Jesus gives us a bunch of warnings. Now, if he told the disciples that was going to happen 1,990 years ago, how much more could it happen in our world today, in our lifetime? It could be right around the corner. We don't know. Jesus gives us six verses, he gives us a warnings, okay? In verse 5, verse 9, verse 23, verse 33, verse 35, and 37. Do you think it's important? He says, number one, don't be led away or astray in verse 5. And then he says, secondly, in those three verses, be on guard. And then in number 3, in those three verses, he says, keep awake or stay awake. And then the general points here in the bottom, take heed, pay attention, watch. and pray. Interestingly, if you're in the Bible version thing, pray is only in a couple of versions. Anyway, but Jesus says, watch and pray. Don't be afraid. Faith for the future. So let's jump into these warnings specifically here in the verses, and let's see why or what we need to do about these warnings that Jesus gave us. These warnings here, why did he tell us to do that? And here's some reasons why, all right? Why we need to watch, why we need to stay awake, why we need to pay attention, why we need to pray, that sort of thing. Number one, there will be false teachers. Look at verse 6 of Mark chapter 13. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am he, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. There's going to be false teachers. It doesn't take too long for us to look in our world and see how many people are standing up and declaring things, saying things that are truth, but they're not. Unfortunately, it could happen in church, in a church, a pastor stand up and say something that's not true. That wouldn't happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. Hello? Yeah. Okay, there's going to be false teachers. Don't let anyone deceive you or lead you astray from the truth. Look up, take your Bible, your phone, whatever, look up 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Actually, let me get this one here. And if you don't have a Bible app, you can Google it. No excuse for you just to sit there and do nothing. Look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 1. A couple verses here. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by what?
Faith.
Oh, there's that word again. Faith. Yeah, so Jesus said, there's going to be false teachers. Keep yourself anchored. Beware of these false teachers. Don't be led astray, okay? It's going to happen. Don't be led astray. There's going to be false teachers. Number two, there will be uncomfortable events. Ooh, this is a little nervous. I'm getting scared. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, there's going to be things happening. Don't be scared. Don't be troubled. Verse 7. And I'm just going to scan. It says, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. This must take place. The end is not yet. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. Oh, my, oh, my. That sounds very scary. Verse 9, be on your guard. Be on your guard. They're going to deliver you over to groups of people. They're going to make you stand up before them and be a witness. Skip down to verse 12. And brother against brother, father against child, children against parents. And they're going to have them put to death. Man, this is terrible. You will, verse 13, you will be hated for me because you believe in me. Jesus says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. There's going to be uncomfortable events happening, but if you endure, you will be saved. So what should we do, folks, when we're watching the news, when we're hearing the news? We're checking out the stuff on our phone, what's going on? People posting something on Facebook or Instagram or chat stuff and all that new stuff that I don't pay attention to. How should we react to that? Remember your faith. Remember your faith. Your faith is that compass that points you to God. I want you to look at verse, I'm going to go off a subject here for just a minute because this is very worth mentioning. This is really cool. Look at verse 11. So he says in the preceding verses that you're going to be brought up in front of people and you're going to be asked to speak and defend your faith or whatever, things are going to happen to you. But look at what Jesus says. This is awesome. He says, verse 11, "And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, don't be anxious. Don't be scared beforehand what you are going to say, but say whatever is given to you at that moment. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." Woo! Isn't that encouraging? Does that give you a little bit of peace? Yeah, it's going to happen, folks. Maybe not in your lifetime, but it's going to happen. But Jesus says, don't worry, don't panic, don't get anxious. You're going to be forced to speak and defend your faith. But Jesus said, it's going to be me that's going to speak through you. Isn't that awesome? That's a great encouragement. So you don't have to prepare. Just like me, I didn't prepare this morning. I'm just speaking, letting the Holy Spirit speak. Thank you. Okay, some of you, yeah, here we go. All right, next one. Number three, this will happen. Jesus told us it would. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Jesus is telling us. Jesus is telling his disciples. He says, I don't know when. I haven't been given that information, but here's what's going to happen when that end starts getting closer. Just like a woman is pregnant and she starts to have these birth pains inside, what happens? A couple days before, you start getting these contractions and they start getting the overnight, they start getting more frequent and they get stronger and heavier and more painful, right, ladies? Okay. Yeah. That's how we know the end is near. It's just going to happen more and more. Jesus told us it was going to happen. So we should, next, be ready. We don't know when the end is going to come. Look at verse 28, please. We don't know when the end will come, but you will see signs. Verse 28. Jesus talks about the fig tree, so we can look outside at our leaves, and he says, when these trees start to produce leaves, you know that summer is coming. So when you see all these things, verse 29, take place, you know he is near at the very gates. It's coming. This will happen. Be ready. Are you seeing signs of the end? As the future gets closer, our faith in God must remain strong. So these signs that Jesus is referring to, and I'm going back to this point again, what feelings do you have when you think about the future? We went over this, so what kind of feelings do you have? You're anxious. What else? You're uncertain. Any others? Adjectives? Huh? You're afraid. Yes. Yes. Jesus says, be ready. Jesus said, this will happen. Jesus said, there's going to be uncomfortable events. Jesus said, there will be false teachers. As our faith gets closer, as our future gets closer, our faith must remain strong. So I have a couple questions for you all here. Just some practical points that I kind of pulled out from the Bible that I just want you to think about. Does it seem to you that more recently the end is coming faster at a more aggressive pace? Yeah. Does that seem like that's happening? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. When you see more of these signs and frequent events, are you concerned? Are you surprised about the increase of sin? Are you? Thanks, Steve Gagne. He's shaking his head. No. Are you surprised? No, we shouldn't be surprised. Why not? Because Jesus said it was going to happen, right? So don't be surprised. Jesus told us it would happen. Maybe you need to strengthen your faith a little bit more. Number two, please, please, as a Christian especially, when you see these events happening more quickly in your life, please don't complain about the future. Make things worse for others and make things more discouraging for others. Who likes to be around somebody who's always sad and discouraged? Oh, I hate this job. I hate my job. This world is going down the tubes. I don't know what's, I'm going to move to Texas or something. Because they can leave the union. Yeah. Please don't complain. Don't make things miserable for others. Does it do any good? No. It's pointless to complain. It's pointless to stop dragging other people down. Change your own heart. Make your compass point to the God. And what causes that? What makes that happen? It's our faith in God that points the compass back to Him.
Amen.
Thank you. Stop dragging other people down. You might have heard the phrase, show me someone who complains is not content in their life, and I'll show you someone who is weak in their faith in the Lord. Next one, number three, expect the expected. Expect the expected. We went over this. Jesus told it was going to happen, so don't be surprised. That's self-explanatory. We can move forward. Number four, here we go. Younger generation, this is for you. I don't know why I'm going over. Maybe my daughter's over here and the guys in the back. I'm just kind of looking over that direction. This is for you. Number four, don't further, this is for the adults, but yeah. Don't further disconnect yourself from future younger generations by complaining and saying how so much better it was 20 or 30 years ago in the 70s and 80s and life was just much more simpler and people were not messed up as they are now and things are just so bad now and do you think this younger generation knows about that? Do you think they care about how good it was 30 years ago? I spent 23 hours with my son driving down to Florida this past week. It was a very good time. We had some really good talks. And I asked him about this point, and he was kind of in agreement that, yeah, it's kind of frustrating, and it kind of turns him off a little bit. People don't like to be around other complainers. Life was so much better when this was going on, and I hate this president. And keep it to yourself. Think about your faith. Let your compass, that faith compass, point you back to God, okay? Redirect your thinking. Redirect your mind. Don't pollute everybody else's mind, okay? All right, enough of that. Good, thank you. Finally, how do we get our faith stronger? How do we get our faith stronger? Well, like many people these days, they go to the gym and they start to exercise, right? They lift weights, run. We need to build up our faith, build up our spiritual muscles, go to the faith gym. We need to read and meditate on the Bible, right? We need to talk to the Lord, not just talk to the Lord in prayer, but communicate with the Lord in prayer. We need to fellowship with other Christians. That's what we're doing here this morning. And those of you that involve in a small group, that's what you do. You get together with other Christians and you build each other up and you strengthen each other up. Turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 10. And again, there's no excuse to just sit there and look at the wall. You can look it up on your phone if you don't have a Bible. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Look at what the Apostle Paul says about getting together with other Christians. Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider how we may spur or encourage one another on toward love and good deeds and good works. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and, all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, how about that? I think the Apostle Paul knew a little bit about what might be coming down. Of course he did, because he knew what Jesus taught. Another thing you should do, strengthen your faith. Get that compass pointed in the right direction in your life. Another thing you can do, and this was a beautiful thing that we see this every year with Vacation Bible School, VBS. Just happened a couple weeks ago. I just think it's super to see dozens of people from our church getting together, focusing on these 40 or 50 kids for 1 week from our church, from the area, that come into our church. We have them for a few hours to teach them about God, to teach them about growing in their faith in God or believing on Jesus as their Savior. Hello, right? We have them for 1 week. And it's so neat to see all of us coming together. And everybody does a little thing here, a little thing there, and it becomes a wonderful, fun success. The kids have a great time singing. They remember Bible verses. Do you think that's a good idea as the end is getting closer? That's a good idea, isn't it? Strengthen the local church here. Strengthen the body of Christ. Get involved in the church ministry. Fellowship with other Christians. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Read your Bible. Meditate on the Bible. These are things that we can do to make our faith stronger. So as the future gets closer, our faith must remain strong. I'm going to invite the praise team up at this time, and you can just get ready, whatever you need to do. We're going to sing the song Cornerstone, I believe, right? Yeah. But I want to draw your attention back to an old hymn, all right? There's a young lady named Eliza Edmonds Hewitt, and she had graduated from high school, and she became a teacher. But unfortunately, she had to stop because she developed a severe spinal injury or problem, and it caused her to be a shut-in, like bedridden, for years. She could have gotten discouraged, could have gotten sad, and just had a big, bad pity party for herself because she couldn't get up like the average 20-something-year-old or 18-year-old girl. No, but she wrote a song. She wrote poetry. And somebody put this poem to words. And here it is. My faith has found a resting place. From guilt, my soul is freed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Say with me, know this. Come on. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. This is my favorite right here. Look at this. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and a sinful soul, I come to him. Spelling error, sorry. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word. Oh, didn't we just talk about reading the Bible? My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. There's the chorus again. Go to the last phrase, last verse. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. Say it with me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, that he died for me. How is your faith for the future? I know I get nervous when I think about the future, and You all have red blood in your veins, so I'm sure you do too, right? We need that compass. As the future gets closer, our faith must remain strong. That spiritual compass, faith, brings us back to God. So let's sing this song, Cornerstone, and be encouraged that Jesus is our solid rock. Amen. Stand, please, and sing.
The stone that the builders rejected has become your cornerstone. Amen?
Let's leave this morning and let's encourage each other and build each other up, because we can be confident in the future and not face the future in fear, because Jesus told us it was going to happen. He told us to be ready. He told us to build each other up. What do we have to worry about? Jesus is with us. Let's let faith be our guide. Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning. I just praise you for this congregation. Lord, we are so blessed. There's so many good people that are just love all these people here, and they're so encouraging. And sometimes, there's been a couple times I come up here and like, why am I even preaching to these people? Because they already know it. But Lord, I just pray maybe something that was mentioned this morning that they would remember and just be a blessing. Lord, help us to go out and tell others about you and be faithful in doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.